He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's 10-11-21, 10-11-21. It is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner, Barry Kite. Welcome to the show today, Barry.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, we, you know, it's the futures were not looking very good this morning. I thought, oh, no, nuts. What a way to start a new week. But, gosh, we just went positive by some pretty big numbers here, not only in our accounts and portfolios, but the market, too. The Dow right now is up 157. I'm not sure what the news was that turned this around.
I saw, you know, there was some Merck news this morning. I know, you know, as soon as I turned on the TV early, it was, you know, Dow was down, I think, 100 on the futures. And then, you know, Merck news, I think, was down to about 70. But I don't know. I really haven't seen any news that's been a big difference between that time and now.
So we're at 34,903. We do begin earnings week this week. That ought to be exciting. S&P is up 17 to 4,408. NASDAQ up 58. The NASDAQ was down about 90 right before the market opened. And now it's up 57, 14,636. Crude oil, I thought this is a bugaboo here. This is a problem. Crude oil is at 81.46 this morning. Gold down 50 cents. Gold is just going nowhere. The precious metal is going nowhere. Everybody wants Bitcoin these days, it looks like. And the 10-year, this is a problem, too. But for whatever reason, tech is not reacting negatively. The 10-year is now 1.61. That's a problem, okay? But tech shrugging it off. And Bitcoin, Bitcoin's on fire right now. It's up 1,900 again. 57,079. So, welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and joining me again today, Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst for Gunderson Capital and certified financial planner. And I want to thank Barry for covering the show for me on Friday as I had a little family. A little funeral down in Bradenton for my brother-in-law, who I love very much. And my sister and him were married for 52 years.
Wow.
And so my sister, I'll have to do some more visiting down there because it's quite a shock to all of a sudden be alone. They have one child and four grandkids. But it was a lovely funeral and a success story, a marriage success story of 52 years. All right, well, let's take a look at what's happening in the market today. As I said, the futures were down this morning by quite a bit as interest rates are now at 1.61, and oil continues to move higher. I just, you know, I think we're going to hear a lot in this coming earnings season the word inflation, whether it's shipping cost, whether it's input cost, whether it's fuel cost to run their factories. It's a big problem, and it's not getting any better. I don't know, Barry. I think it gets worse before it gets better, this inflation issue. What say you?
Well, it makes sense to me that the main reason is because, you know, I think that, you know, at least for us in the U.S., I think, you know, we're a lot further along in the recovery, right? And so just think as you get some of these other countries, right, as they kind of, you know, pick up demand and things around the globe as well. You know, to me, you're going to have even more, you know, you're going to have an increase in demand even more than you have now, and supply is still going to be lagging. And I'm with you. The best part about the, you know, I'm going to be reading a lot of those, you know, transcripts from the quarterly earnings calls, because you're right. The biggest things you're going to hear, you know, the main thing to listen to is what's the, you know, what are the cost situation? The other key word to think of here, you're going to hear besides inflation, is pass-through. Because that's how much they can, of those cost increases that they think they can pass on to us as consumers.
Yes, and supply chain is going to be a big issue as we hear these companies report. The other thing that was disappointing on Friday, the U.S. economy added 194,000 jobs. That's horrible. That's horrible. Somebody needs to be held accountable for that. With 10 million job openings across America, we can only create. And the two things that were blamed were COVID variant, the vaccination issue, people not getting vaccinated. And the other one was expensive child care. Now, I have a hard time buying that kept the jobs report and the unemployment. It went down to 4.8, but only 194,000 jobs created. That's really pitiful.
Well, but here we are. It's always been expensive.
It's always been expensive, and nothing has changed. And to blame the poor jobs report on that, of course, that's a big part of the big social $3.5 trillion package, is free child care or whatever. But that's what got the blame from the Biden administration. The averages ended last week in the red on that disappointing jobs report. Today is Columbus Day, so happy Columbus Day. I do think that the banks are closed maybe today, but we're working. We are here working today. Last week it was the energy and the financials and the industrials that led the way. Here we are back to reflation stocks, which just looked horrible about 6 weeks ago. The copper stocks got whacked. The energy stocks were getting whacked. This is a crazy year. And now all of a sudden, reflation stocks are doing better. And, of course, you would count, you know, the energy, the commodities, the financials, the industrials, basic materials, that's kind of, and probably consumer discretionary. Tech, I thought, was pretty weak last week. And I think weakest of all were the high PE stocks that were under pressure in February and March of this year. They're kind of under pressure again. So, you know, when I see a stock selling off, normally I could look at the PE ratio and see 170, 210, 120. Those are the stocks that right now are, you know, definitely peeling off a little bit as interest rates start to rise and have been rising here for a while. We're at 1.7 again. Okay, now, Goldman Sachs cuts the growth outlook from 5.7 down to 4. Let's see, 5.6. They go down to 4% next year. That's just down from 4.4, but actually they kept the future years. That's still pretty good, actually, 4.4%.
They say 4 years from 4 years ago, before COVID, right?
Yeah,
you'd be happy with it. You'd be like, wow, that's a big, that's a huge number.
We were at 1 to 2%. The pace of growth is decelerating, but it's still at a meaningful level, and that's what I would say. But they also cite labor shortages and inflationary pressures. They'll be looking to see to what extent demand is there, however, especially for the all-important holiday spending period. You know, everything I read, do your holiday shopping early because the shelves will be bare by early December. So that's probably going to create a panic, panic buying, just them saying that. But, you know, this is a very important holiday season. The retailers, basically, a lot of them, all of their profits for the year come from that holiday 3 months, you know, November, December, and the big sales in January. So we'll see what happens here this year. I'm not too optimistic about that. Okay, Q3 earnings season begins. We're looking for 27.6% growth versus the same quarter last year, but you got to put an asterisk next to that, because we're up against the third quarter of 2020, which was heavily still impacted by COVID. And the thing that everybody will be watching, I'm going to watch the profit margin. The expected profit margin for the S&P 500 is 12.1%. And we'll see, you know, like you say, pass-through. Yes, their costs are going up in labor. Their costs are going up in shipping. Their costs are going up in, you know, the commodities that they have to buy, the input. Can they pass that on to the consumer? We'll find out here real soon. As I think later this week we'll see J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, all the usual suspects. And then next week we start to get some of the industrials. Okay, one last thing. Hong Kong jumps more than 2%. The Chinese stocks, yeah, they're rebounding somewhat. I've lost my faith in them for now, and I don't know that I'll ever get it back. I've lost my appetite. You know, when you get a really bad case of food poisoning from some of these Chinese stocks, that at any moment they can practically regulate out of business if they don't like them. That's just a risk that I'm not willing to take. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about surging inflation for a moment, okay? This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Wow, Dow up 200 now. We're having a nice day, too, here at Gunderson Capital. NASDAQ up 79 right now. So there must be some news somewhere that I've missed in the last 30 minutes or so. But I had all my news current, everything that's come out since we last did the show on Friday morning, right up until about 30 minutes ago. So something must have happened since the market opened here, I'm thinking.
Yeah, anyways. I don't know if it's bets on earnings season or what, because, I mean, there's really, I'm kind of, you know, on the break, I was cruising in all the news outlets, and
yeah.
there's really no news, which, maybe that's a good thing.
A lot of times, so there is a grapevine in the market. Okay.
Right.
It's a grapevine that is underneath CNBC, it's underneath CNN, it's underneath Stock Twits and whatnot. And generally speaking, you can find it if you do enough. And usually, before long, CNN figures it out, or CNBC figures it out, or Stock Twits. Or
Fox Business.
Someone figures out what it was, but there's something going on positive here. All right, now... surging inflation marks a common theme at last week, I would say Bed Bath & Beyond was just a horrible, horrible, horrible report. Pepsi and Levi Strauss, and by the way, Levi Strauss is going to get into the yoga business, all right? You know, here they go from gold miners in San Francisco, you know, tough guys, you know, rough and tumble, the 49ers up there, pan and gold, to the yoga pants. Okay, so that's quite a... And they recently went public again, and the stock's done pretty good. I think they're going to go the route of having their own exercise station that people can sign up and subscribe to. But they did mention, you know, rising costs. We're seeing rising cost freight. Okay, freight is a big problem. And the backup. The backup at the ports is just horrible right now. Cotton, soaring. There's an ETF on cotton called BAL, which I'm going to look at here very quickly. BAL, bale. It went from $49 just 3 weeks ago. It's $61 in the last 2 weeks as cotton prices soar. Lumber prices moving higher again, aluminum, corn, wheat, and other commodities continue to be a common trend for consumer stocks. And, you know, a lot of people. Now, the question is, can they pass it on to consumers? Pepsi said they can. If you have a very strong brand, of course, Pepsi owns Mountain Dew, which is big down here in the South, and you know, Major Melon Mountain Dew, you got to have that. And some of these other flavors they've come out with, Baja Punch and whatever. They have pricing power. But Constellation Brands, who has much more competition in the beer and what's the seltzer market.
Yeah,
they don't have that pricing power, and they say they're being hurt by these rising costs. So you just have to go stock by stock. Also, they're mentioning Hanes Brands, which reported last week, and Carter's. You know, there's not a lot of pricing power in clothing either. I mean, nobody has a dominant position. So they're continuing to be affected by this. And the other one here, you know, gasoline pretty much now is over $3 nationwide. And, you know, look, you go back to February, March of last year, 2020, when oil prices went negative. Now, how can we all of a sudden, this is a manufactured shortage, in my opinion. It's not that we're running out of oil. It's that it's just harder to get, I suppose. I don't know if it's supply chain. They're blaming truck drivers, not enough truck drivers. It's all I know. U.S. crude tops $80 for the first time in 7 years. The number one ranked ETF here recently has been Russia. Russia, okay. I'm a little leery about buying a Russia, or that's the number one index ranked in the app.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Russia, 80% of their economy is oil-related.
Yeah, or gas. Yeah,
exactly. And here they are supplying the gas to Europe. It's a lot of bad ideas going on in the world right now that I don't think are going to play out very well. And I don't think transitioning too quickly away from the fossil fuels, which are still driving 80 to 90% of our economy, to renewables, which I'm all for, but you know, this, you're never going to be running the economy on renewables. You know, the jet fuel and the ships and the military and the freighters and the airliners and all this and that, you're still going to need fossil fuels. But in the meantime, crude oil, natural gas soaring right now. And of course, you know, petroleum is in a lot of products that you don't realize that are going to be impacted. Okay, now, the other bugaboo. Okay, we talked last week about all the bouncing balls in the air right now that we're juggling and hoping one of them doesn't come down and hit us on the head. The rising rates, you know, that's what sunk the market last week. And I put in the newsletter every week a chart of the 10-year interest rates. And that is a very strong chart that has now broken out through resistance. And it looks like it's headed back to the February and March highs, which were 1.75, something like that, 1.75.
Yeah, 1.75 was kind of my mark in the sand. And the thing about 1.75 is when you get there, you know, you start getting the carry trade from Japan. So you're going to, you know, to me, the longer that Europe lags to recover, you know, the kind of the more natural that that ceiling will be, I think, for our interest rates, because you're going to have, you know, bond. Are you going to buy a, you know, a German Bund at negative 30 basis points, right? Or are you going to buy a 10-year treasury at 1.75?
Right.
Well, that overall, your market rate, right, well, you're going to have, you know, demand for that note at that
you
price.
Would think
so. It's gonna hopefully, you know, like I said, it'll hopefully keep that top rate down at least for a period of time as the rest of the world recovers.
Yeah, and another problem we have is some of the buyers of U.S. Treasuries are backing off. China was one of the biggest buyers, and I don't think they're buying U.S. because of the tiff that's going on between us again. Japan is a big buyer of U.S. Treasuries. So, yeah, you would think that, like, 1.75 would be pretty attractive. Germany is almost back to even.
You know,
they were deeply into the negative rates there. But I've been watching interest rates worldwide, basically, rising here recently. So now the question is, the age-old question, which sectors do best when rates are rising? I'm just going to say without question that it's the financial sector that does the best when rates are rising, including
insurers.
Banks.
Yeah, insurers
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, when we come back, I want you to explain why insurers. I never have really figured out the correlation there. Okay, think about that. And the one that does the worst in this rising rate is tech and high PE stocks. All right, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with NASDAQ up 80 now, 81 points. Now, that's good. The Dow up 178. Okay, insure. Let's just, before we move on to the next subject, why do insurance stocks do well in a rising interest rate environment?
Well, if you think about the structure of an insurance company, right, we're paying our premiums every month, right? And, of course, we're not having a, you know, hopefully not having a claim every month.
No.
And so
they got to invest that money.
Exactly. And they need to invest it in a, you know, they're not throwing it in the Chinese market, right? They're throwing it into safe, you know, if you think of reserves and in terms of, you know, each state has their own reserve requirements in terms of what you have to hold as your reserves.
Right.
And by default, a lot of those are your safer bonds or fixed income. And
right.
So as interest rates rise, they're actually earning more money, right, off of our premiums each month. So you combine that, of course, you know, in this environment, you know, of course, last year, even though rates were low, insurers were actually had tons of less claims. So it wasn't, you know, so they actually did okay. Even in a low rate environment, but this year, right, as you got interest rates rising, those a lot of money will tend to go towards those insurance names because of that simple fact.
Yeah, well, it's the same. That's the same reason why a lot of the financials, especially the asset managers, do well because they hold a lot of cash, right? Many times, and they're earning more on their cash, and banks too. They're earning more. You know, of course, a bank invests and you know, borrows and lends, and there's a spread in there, and there's a bigger spread as interest rates go up. So that's why I think in a portfolio right now, and we do. I did own some one insurance stock for a while, then rates started going down again. They went down to 1.25. I got rid of it. Now rates are going up again. And it's rising, but we do own some financials, some high-quality financials, kind of as an offset and a hedge against rising interest rates. And I was looking, too, you know, our bond fund, I update the prices on each bond every Friday for the newsletter. You know, that thing is so steady as she goes. You know, maybe they go down 25 cents or something like that. They're 115. They'll go down 25 cents on a week when rates go up. But, you know, you're holding them to maturity. And let's not forget that a lot of these bonds, they came out at 100 originally, and now they're like 118. They've gone up 17-18%. In the principal side of the equation, and they're very, very steady. Yes, last week interest rates went up, the bond fund went down a little bit, but it's a paper thing, you know, it's a paper loss because we plan on holding those to maturity for the most part. Okay, so we're going to see this week, banks will start reporting earnings, and I think that's going to be pretty important, but not as important as when the actual companies that have more exposure to the supply chain and inflation start reporting. But we're going to hear from Goldman Sachs. We're going to hear from J.P. Morgan. We're going to hear from Morgan Stanley and later this week. And then earnings season is officially underway. And like I say, we're expecting 27.6%. Now, every time a S&P 500 company reports, they'll also give forward guidance, and the analyst will then sharpen their pencils for the fourth quarter of this year, for all of next year, and the year after that. And if they revise estimates higher, we'll get higher estimates, and the market will continue to go higher. And if we start to see, this is what we'll be watching for, a lot of companies lowering their estimates going forward because of the issues that we've been talking about, inflation and supply chain. Now, if that starts to happen, that would be a big concern. This market's been going up since 2009 because earnings have been going up since 2009. And, you know, we're looking for a healthy rise in earnings this year versus last year's COVID year, obviously. But where the rubber hits the road is going to be 2022 next year. Okay, when we're now down to more normal comparisons, is the economy, our earnings for the S&P 500 going to continue to grow in the face of a tough inflationary environment and a supply chain issue? But then again, you've got Goldman Sachs saying that our gross domestic product will grow by 4% next year. So that's pretty positive for the market still. All right, I don't know what's going on with Bitcoin. It's been doing well. The regulatory environment seems to be heating up against it. It seems to be the hedge that people are using against inflation right now, more so than gold, which is kind of nutty. But there you go. I mean, that's the way Bitcoin is behaving right now. More than 130 nations sign on for global minimum corporate tax. I didn't think they could pull it off, but they've pulled it off. I think the last country to cave was Ireland, who's maintained a 12.5% corporate tax rate, which made them, you know, the lowest in the world as a nation. And, of course, you had a lot of companies moving to Ireland. But Ireland has finally caved and said 15% minimum tax rate. Now that's nationwide. Now, here in the U.S., we'll have to see. That's going to affect some of these companies that they've done a lot of research and development. They're able to depreciate things. They're able to write off research. Doesn't matter. If they do enough accounting, you know, whatever is allowed, and they come up with a zero profit, they're going to have to pay a 15% minimum tax on their, you know, before. How would that work, Barry?
Yeah, I don't, that's what, that's
kind of weird.
You're exactly where my brain doesn't work. So it's like, okay, is there different, you know, is there going to be a, okay, you don't hit the 15%. Well, is there some different, you know, now are we going to go to, think of, you know, alternative AMT, right, for an individual.
Right.
So now are we going to go to a whole different tax form? It's like, okay, we're here. Let's move over here. The one thing that I do think is interesting is to get the U.S. on board is actually going to be a pain in, you know, is actually probably going to be one of the harder countries to actually get on board because you need the Senate needs, you know, is going to need a two-thirds vote in order to raise some of these, change some of these tax treaties.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I mean, there may be pressure on folks, but 60, you know, all I know is two-thirds of the Senate, right? I mean, we can't, I joked around last week. They can only thing they can agree on is they all hate Facebook, right? So
yep.
Other than that, I don't see how you get, I mean, I don't really know how you actually pull this off on a, you know, from a U.S. base. I mean, it's great that they got everybody else on board, I guess, but good luck.
And the other thing is, I mean, it's not a 15% tax on sales, okay? Because sales, I mean, you take your sales at Amazon, deduct all your expenses, and what's left over, I guess they're going to go on before you get into some of the accounting. I don't want to call them gimmicks because they're legal, but Amazon has reported no profit before taxes, right, for a few years. So I really don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah, my thought is, like I said, you know, maybe some of the, you know, I don't know if you have to go to a cash basis accounting potentially versus accrual based, right? I mean, there's a lot of a lot of ways that you can book, you know, booking revenue, you know, in terms of future revenue. Maybe do they make the fact that you book it in a quarter, if you don't hit the 15% that you have to recognize it in that quarter. You know, that's the piece. You know, and actually, until you just mentioned it, I didn't even think about how they're actually going to pull it off. Number do you tax at 15%?
I know, exactly. Okay, the other thing that's happening here are these labor shortages. Southwest Airline cancels over 2,000 flights over the weekend, okay? They're saying that they've got a lot of pilots and a lot of workers that don't want to be vaccinated. That's what seems to be the leading theory as to why all of these flights were canceled. Now, the other airlines, however, aren't having this issue. But Southwest flies a lot more flights than the average airline. But that's a big problem. I mean, you had 1,800 flights canceled. A lot of people stranded over the weekend. There's a lot of disturbing things going on right now that it's weird. Well, shale producers ramping up, natural gas prices surge. That's the old supply-demand equation. They start drilling. Prices are high. That puts more supply in the market. Prices go down. They stop drilling. That's just the kind of way it works. All right, when we come back, I'm going to find a couple, two or three stocks here to talk about here that are catching my eye so far in the early going. Stay tuned for that. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be back for the final segment. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 62 right now. It's given up a little bit. Dow up 166. Looking at the movers in the market today, it's definitely a commodity day.
Yeah,
Freeport, MacMoran, Nucor, Mosaic,
Cleveland Cliffs
Fertilizer, Cleveland Cliffs, CF Industries, another fertilizer stock, Halliburton. And then kind of just creeping in there a little bit on the fringes are the banks with the rising rates. But the three that kind of jump off the page here to me, I'm going to go number one with the number one ranked sector in the entire market as ranked by the Best Stocks Now app. Sectors are very important. The ETF that represents this sector is BDRY. It's the Breakwave Dry Bulk Shipping ETF. This thing is absolutely on fire. And, of course, you can look online. You can go to Morningstar or Yahoo Microsoft.com, MSN.com, and see what's in this ETF. It is up over the last 12 months, 356%. It's quadrupled. So far this year, 2021, it's up 404%.
Wow.
It's up again today, 4.6%, closing in on a new all-time high. I own a little bit personally, okay, in my own little play account that I keep in my desk drawer over here, BDRY. Is the number one. It has a relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 of 99, A-plus relative strength. And, you know, there's stocks like Diana Shipping, Euroseas, Dry. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of little players in this thing. But that is the number one sector in the market, and the ETF that represents it is BDRY in the app overall. Okay, this is not just against all the ETFs. This is against the entire database right now.
Yeah,
BDRY is ranked number 31 overall.
We've came a long ways on those things. Remember, how many years was it back? It wasn't that long ago where, remember, oil prices were low and it was cheaper for, and remember, shipping containers
And
certainly tankers were not in much use at the time.
No.
And so remember,
they
it was
were being
cheaper,
used for storage.
Yeah, it was cheaper to store the oil in the tanker, keep it off the coast, and wait and for prices to go up and then deliver the oil. And of course, now the cost, you would never do that from a cost standpoint because it would cost you way too much.
But this is the shipping supply, the supply chain, a lot of it is the port of Savannah, the port of Long Beach. The port of, now I don't know
Charleston?
I don't know who's causing this, or maybe it's just natural. I don't know. I smell a rat somewhere. why these ships are sitting offshore like they are, but it is what it is, okay? Now, the other stock that jumps off the page to me is a solar stock. The solar stocks, they did really well in January and February as, you know, the Biden administration came in. And then when the interest rates started going up, these stocks are not cheap. They trade at very high multiples. They got whacked. I'm looking at SunPower, SPWR. They have their own supply chain issues. You know, there's a problem with the solar panels that were coming out of China. In a lot of cases, there's been a moratorium put on those panels because, you know, slave labor and all this kind of stuff. So now there's a shortage of panels. But I'm looking at SunPower today, SPWR. That's a very nice breakout on SPWR. And that stock's rising in rank. It came up on my rising in rank screen in my app database today. SunPower is currently ranked number 390. It is really rising in rank, so we're going to keep our eye on that. They manufacture high-performance solar electric technology using proprietary processes. They're in San Jose, California. And the third one is a fertilizer stock. This continues to be a hot sector. How's our Nutrien doing, Barry? You wrote that one up.
Up 2% today. I was looking at it when you were going through the commodity names.
So, you know what? That's kind of a balanced attack that we have in this year's, our portfolios this year, which has been a very difficult year because you've had so many rotations internally in the market. But we do like that fertilizer area. But the one I'm going to point out today is a smaller one, ICL. Look at the chart of that, ICL Group. It's an Israeli producer of fertilizers, bromine phosphorus compound used in agricultural food engineered materials. And that's part of the inflation equation. These farmers that have to use the nitrogen and whatnot on their crops and whatnot, that's why you're seeing inflation in cotton and in wheat and in corn as fertilizer, the nutrients, you know, the building blocks of life in the plant world continue to soar. They need nitrogen or natural gas as one of the inputs into fertilizer.
Right, it's crazy.
If you price a bag of Turf Builder at Home Depot, you know, to put some nitrogen on your lawn, that stuff's like $40 a bag right now. It's
right?
Just crazy. Yeah. It's out of sight. And so ICL doing very well. ICL is number 53 rank overall and an A-plus momentum grade. It's kind of a crazy world right now. A lot of things going on all over the world that, we're seeing right now. And, you know, trying to make sense of it and make money off of it, that's what we continue to look for here is opportunity. And one of those opportunities right now, the shipping, the fertilizer, what was the third one I just mentioned?
Solar.
Starting to come back into favor.
Yeah, DQ. I mean, you look at DQ today, one we've written up in the past.
Yeah.
Of course, part of that's, you know, it's Chinese, so
yes.
Part of it's Chinese bouncing back today, but the other part of it is it is in the solar industry.
So yes.
It's up
and there's
8.5% or something today.
Solar ETF TAN that you might want to look at right now. Okay, we're out of time. But, you know what, if this isn't a time for active investing versus passive investing, of course, the passive investors in the index have kind of done better here with all the internal rotation, but this market is getting really crazy. I think you got to be active. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go on line and get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.